Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And we're going to finish up the chapter tonight in our reading. So this will be 1 Corinthians 15. And we will start in verse 35 and read to the end of the chapter in verse 58. And we are seeing again in this great resurrection chapter the promise of a glorified body. But even more than that, how do we live as believers in light of all that our Savior Jesus has accomplished for us? And Paul is going to exhort us, and catch this as we walk through it, he's going to exhort us to be immovable, be steadfast, in light of all that God in Christ has done for us. And brethren, just as we read this again, this is our future. We are not going to be here in this body forever. All of us one day, unless the Lord should return again, we're going to have a funeral. And this is our hope, that Jesus has saved us from our sins, that we belong to Him. And that one great day, we'll have a glorified body. And so, in the here and now, between the first and second resurrection, we have this great promise that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. But even greater is the joy of knowing that one great day, our Savior Jesus will return to earth, and yet the dead in Christ will rise, and we'll have a glorified body. And it's just something to really dwell upon, especially you reflect, for example, in Revelation chapter 5, and there's people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation standing around the throne of King Jesus. And that's in this passage. This is about your life and your eternal future. And so in light of that, let us, with great joy, delight, read 1 Corinthians 15, and beginning in verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow does not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Moreover, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, brethren, verses 57 and 58 are really capstones, not just to, you know, this particular reading tonight, but really the whole entire chapter. Since our Savior Jesus, as we saw in the beginning of the chapter, victoriously rose again from the grave, it's that gospel, Paul reminded the church, by which they stand, by which they're being saved, if they hold fast that word which was preached to you. And, of course, the application of that resurrection to our own future resurrection from the dead. All of these things are a promise of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the word belongs to us also as beloved brethren to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's a good word for us, brethren. And you know, oftentimes we find ourselves, weary and worn out by the things of this world and the obligations of life. And moments like this that Paul gives us are moments to refocus, right? Refocus your minds on things that are, you know, eternal and that really matter. And just to be honest, isn't it true about us? So often our thoughts and our time and our affections are drawn away by lesser things, much lesser things. And so it is a time to refocus our eyes on our victorious Savior, the Lord Jesus. Paul begins here in verse 35 with two key questions. You can see it. He asked, how are the dead raised up? That's the first question. And then second question he asked is, what kind of bodies will they have? And, Paul answers, how the dead are raised? Well, they're raised by God's divine power. That's how the dead are raised. It's not natural, it's supernatural. And, he gives this analogy to the death and revival every year of crops. He uses wheat as that great example. And Paul calls them foolish ones. And he says, but someone will say, and there's always that someone, right? And Paul knows that. And he calls them foolish ones, foolish to question the almighty power of God to raise the dead from the grave. And it's a reminder, just like those crops, that God created the world in 6 days. He created the world. We see in nature the example of God providentially raising the dead. Again, crops, cycles, seasons. And so it's really an argument from, lesser to greater. If God can providentially bring to pass every single year the revival, the resurrection, you might say, of those crops. A grain of wheat dies and it springs up again the next spring. If he can do that, he can raise the dead. If he does those things, he can raise us also from the grave on that great day. So he can raise the saints. But the second question is, what will those resurrection bodies be like? Well, the short answer to that is it's going to be way better. That's the short answer to that. We will be changed, Paul says, in a twinkling of the eye. Other places we know that we'll have a body like our Lord Jesus, a glorified body like his. Just like that grain, dies and changes, so will the saints. We'll rise, we'll live again, and we'll be changed. And, Paul is going to make this analogy again. Burying the dead is just like putting a seed into the ground. It's going to come back. It's going to come back different. And there's really a mystery to that. He says in verse 39, it's not all flesh is not the same. So the works of creation and providence really humble us when we think about that. God is, mysteriously bringing about all his plans of providence throughout the world. And he will bring to pass our future resurrection as well. There's a variety of animals, he says, a variety of bodies, and even talks about the celestial and terrestrial planets, stars, these kinds of things. Just a variety of heavenly bodies as well. And so it is also, we see in verse 41, with a resurrection from the dead. There's a mystery to it. The body will be sown into corruption. It will be raised in incorruption. But with God, brethren, all things are possible. And there are people, of course, who struggle with this. You know, I mean, how can God raise a body that's been in the ground for hundreds of years or even thousands of years? Well, with God, all things are possible. And he breathed life into the first Adam. He breathed life into Adam and Eve, made man. And he breathed life into us when we were spiritually born again. And he also has the power to raise our bodies from the dead at his second coming. So we will be changed. We'll have a glorious resurrection body fit for heaven. These current bodies that we have, they're not fit for heaven. There's incorruption there. There's corruption there. But we'll have a new body that's incorruptible. A body, again, just like our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So he will raise us and give us this perfect body that we'll have forever and ever and ever. When you think about heaven, that's really what you want to think about. There will be a time when we are disembodied spirits, but that's not forever and ever. We'll have a new body and a new heaven and a new earth when that trumpet sounds. And let's talk about how then shall we live in light of these things. How do we live? Well, first of all, you know, since these things are true, this is the foundation of our faith and assurance. Our Lord Jesus rose from the grave. So Paul makes a big deal about being seen by the 12 and by Cephas and by James and last of all me and then by the 500 eyewitnesses and most of whom he says are still alive. Some have fallen asleep, you know, to be a euphemism for some have died. Paul makes a big deal about that because the resurrection of Jesus is our guarantee of future resurrection. And so, brethren, have full assurance of this. If your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, then your hope is one day the trumpet will sound and your body will rise from the grave and you'll have a resurrected body. You should think about that. And think about all the afflictions that we face in this life. We'll probably pray about some this evening. Our bodies wear out and they get older and they go through trials and sickness. We have several among our body who are sick. Brother Jerry's mother went to be with the Lord. Death and sickness and trials, these things are things that we face in everyday life. And so, as we read this passage, fix your eyes on truth, on truth, on truth. And that is that just like our Lord rose from the grave, you also will have a resurrection body and something to definitely rejoice about. Remember that sin gave death that sting, the sting of death. But also remember that we have a Savior, Christ, who has taken that sting through his full atonement, laying down his life for our sins. The sting is the law, and of course we can't fulfill the law, we can't keep the law, but we have a Savior who perfectly obeyed the law, his active obedience, never once sinning, sinless, harmless, and undefiled. Our Savior always was. He fulfilled all righteousness and in his passive obedience, laid down his life where he bore the wrath of God on the cross. And so, again, brethren, every day, every single day of our life, look to God's gospel. Remind yourself of all that God in Christ has done for the good of our souls. Remind yourselves that death will take your body one day, unless our Lord should return again while you are still alive. Death will take our body temporarily, but our soul will be with Jesus. But that death is a temporary state of our body. There'll be a new glorious body. And that is definitely something to rejoice about. Jesus is the first fruits of the dead, the first of the resurrection. We will follow his example. We'll also rise as well. And so in light of that, brethren, don't let death bully you. Don't let death terrorize you. There are so many people who are absolutely, as the writer of Hebrews says, in bondage to the fear of death. In bondage to the fear of death. And I would remind you, brother, don't let death be your bully, because Jesus stomped the head, crushed the head of the enemy, and thus vanquished the fear of death on behalf of his people. Death Death is only that which ushers us into the full presence of our Lord Jesus. Paul says that it's actually very much better. And so we have this actually to look forward to, in a sense. We want to live for the glory of God while God gives us life. But death does not have the authority and power to bully you, because the only thing it can do is bring you into our Savior's presence. Don't let it intimidate you. And then, of course, Paul exhorts us to be steadfast, immovable. So, brethren, would call upon us in light of all the things we've seen in 1 Corinthians 15 to plant your feet into the firm foundation of God's gospel. Be immovable in light of everything this world brings along our way. We see all the craziness in our own dark age. In light of those things, how are we to live? Well, be immovable. I mean, there are people who, every wind of doctrine is blowing them around. They're double-minded. They're all over the map. Today there's one position. Next year there'll be in another position. And we all know unstable people who are afraid, and they're always looking for some new, cultural mood and movement to kind of join and be a part of and be affiliated with. And for us as followers of Jesus, we've got our feet firmly planted into the gospel rock. We're not going anywhere. Right, we're like the person that the psalmist Psalm 1 writes about. We've got our roots going deep by rivers of living water, and so we don't get moved around by every little changing, sifting doctrine, philosophy. Plant your feet solidly into God's gospel, and He's also calls us to abound in the work of the Lord. And, you've probably heard the old hymn before, we'll work till Jesus comes. And that's true. We'll work until Jesus comes, or until He calls us home to glory. And I think it's easy for believers. What do you guys think? It's easy for believers to get discouraged. And in light of everything that we see happening in our own nation and our own land, it's easy for people to kind of throw their hands up. And I would just encourage you, brother, if you ever feel that way, it's a good time to unplug from maybe too much, news media or too many things that are causing you to have your mind pulled and tugged in other directions. We want to abound in the work that God has given us. Use your gifts. Be present with the people of God and abound in the work the Lord has given us. And a lot of these things, brethren, I would encourage us to, may the Lord Jesus, who gave us saving faith, increase our faith. May the Lord help us to walk in joy and delight in light of all the truths we saw in 1 Corinthians 15, this great resurrection chapter. And as we do so, remind ourselves that, yes, we are called by Jesus to stand even in dark days, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, thus saith the Lord. And so, Father, in light of these things, we pray you'd help us. We're a needy people always. Help us, Lord, to stand in what we have in Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, the good news of the gospel. And help us, Lord, to not be moved and shaken and troubled, but to be immovable and steadfast and abounding in the work of the Lord. Help us, we pray, because we need Him. And we ask, Lord, your blessings on this congregation. We ask, Lord, your blessings on those among us who are sick and ill. We ask these things in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.